Okay, so we are on. Welcome back. This is what I think the fifth week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the fifth out of 6 weeks, with Reuven Bashnak leading the Orda Tshuva Chabura. And as we've done each week, I just want to dedicate our learning to, in memory of Shalom Dov Ber Markel of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a 4-year-old boy who passed away tragically this summer. Shalom Dov Ber Ben David Aloha Shalom. And Ksiva Chasima Tova to everyone. Welcome as we Erev of Rosh Hashanah. Very apropos time to learn. So here we go. Ruin, I think you're muted.
Welcome back, everybody. A little less flashing lights than the last time. And that's the cat, because of course, if you have a laptop, the cat will find it. There we go. Okay. So welcome back. We're here in Perek Dalet, Os Dalet, on the heels of what we were speaking about before as Tshuva being seen as a world force. And when you think about it, it keys in entirely to our concept of what we daven for in the Kedushas Hayom, the Uvechein Ten Pachtechas, right? The Uvecheins, I mean, the Uvechein Ten Pachtecha, Uvechein Ten Kavod. All of the Uvecheins, you know, speak to a world which is redeemed, speak to a world which emerges. Again, through these forces, these, you'll excuse me, Oros HaTshuva, that if we can be so bold as to believe in the power of Tshuva to return everything to a pristine state, we can believe in the power of Tshuva to fix everything within our lives and in the world, in the greater world. So to zoom out, what our thoughts of Rosh Hashanah, what Rosh Hashanah become is a, you know, our dreams of a new world order, and a bigger world order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in a way which is seen b'fayil, in a way which is perceived, in a way which, you know, in a way that is understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And then that's a cause for joy. That's a cause for celebration. And our celebration of this, our total rejoicing of this, is witnessing some of the full power of tshuva that Rav Kook alludes to in the introduction, that we haven't seen yet tshuva in its full force return mankind to the nobility that he once had, and our tefillah is to return to that nobility. One might say that nobility originally was a gift. And now it's something which needs to be earned, and that's truly concretized through tshuva. So Rav Kook begins, and he says, "Teva olami v'chol yetzir prati, ha'historia, ha'enoshit v'chol ish yichidi u'ma'asav." So the nature of the world, every particular creation.
I'm sorry, which os are you in?
Dalad.
Oh, Dalet. I thought we were up to hey. I'm sorry, let me just fix that.
No problem.
Okay, sorry. Here we go. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that.
So, Historia and the Rav Kook, although Historia should be spelt with a tess, he spells it with a taf, because he believed that even Historia is really Hester Ka. And that's b'chuvan. That's on purpose, because the idea is that there's a revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand throughout history in a hidden way. So history is Hester Ka, and that's germane to the paragraph as well, that everything in the world is part of this plan and along the plan of tshuva. Each individual person, their actions, all of them, so yichim achat. They all have to be viewed with one glance. Kitochen echad bal prakim shonim. like a table of contents with many chapters. Each person, the story of their life. V'yad kol adam bo. Right? Very, very reminiscent of both Sivach Simatova, the Kosvenu v'sefer Achayim, and of course V'yad kol adam bo. And the handwriting and the signature of each person's name is there in the Book of Life. Each one of us is part of that story, and that story is the story of tshuva. And therefore, Rav Kook alluded in the introduction, and he'll speak about it again in his famous poem, the Shorer HaTshuva. All of it, that there's a book of life, a book of the story of our life, and a book of the tale of our life, and each person's tale comprises the grand story of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout this world. And as well, there's a way that the story comes to an ending, but only when we see the whole picture. We only look at it as a chapter, that we miss the full character arc of each person, the full character arc of everything in the world, he says. And when we do, Az b'maharet ha'orah shel hadea, ha'mevi alidei tshuva lavo. And then when we start to see what's going on, we start to see the lines that run through, then the return to that whole big picture, that idea of the tshuva sichlit, which we spoke about again in the first parak, a little bit in the second parak as well, that line that connects everything. The idea, the piece that goes from Aleph through Taf. From Aleph through Taf, that runs through everything, that one clear line, that plumb line that puts it all together. This also, by the way, is the author of the Sefer Nozdesha, the other son of the Ishbitzer Rebbe, explains that whenever we talk of the idea of Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, of Malchut, this sphere, this idea, is how everything lines up. And when you learn the Ishbitzer in that way, you know, the academics are wondering, to the extent of when the Ishbitzer speaks so much about Hashgacha Vashem, you know, how does free will play in? So part of the understanding is that, again, we're looking at it in two different dimensions. We're looking at it in the big picture. Of course, you were choosing, but also, of course, it was all part of the plan. But of course, you were choosing, but of course, it was part of the plan. It depends on where the zoom in and zoom out is. So Rav Kook says is that when I realize that there's a thin, fine line that unites everything, there's a storyline that connects it all, that brings it all together. There's a wonderful teaching in the Kutei Maharan towards the end of the second volume of Tinyana, where he talks about the idea of both the Shadchan and the Mechadish Torah, both have the aspect of bringing together very, very divergent pieces, and they're able to unite them together. And the same way that the Mechadish Torah takes pieces of the Torah that seem to have nothing to do with each other, bring them together in a way, it's a tremendous chiddush. There's a tremendous novelty within that concept, that you're looking at, you know, like I saw and Rabbi Simon Shalita Sefer in the Imri Baruch, and he quotes a famous machlokas that we're talking about right now, about Tkiyah Shofar, right? When Tkiyah Shofar falls out on Shabbos, why don't we blow? So famously, the Gemara says, the Talmud Bavli says, oh, you know, it's because it says it's a Yom Zichron Shua. Zichron Shua means you don't blow on Shabbos. The Gemara says, yeah, that's an asmachta. That's just a hinting, the biblical ayah to a rabbinic din. But the real rabbinic din is, we don't want you to carry an in Rishus HaRavim. And then the Yerushalmi says, no, it's not an asmachta. It's a biblical, it's part and parcel of the fabric of the commandments. It's part and parcel of the fabric of the commandments. The fabric of the commandment is that it doesn't apply on Shabbos. It's not a rabbinic law injunction. It's a biblical commandment. It's us to blow the shofar on Shabbos. We don't blow it. Period. So Rav Shechter, Rav Shechter Shlita, Marina Rav Shechter says, Marina Rav Shechter, you know what he says? So he says, you know what this is? This is the same machlokus as the Gemara going to feel us on Shabbos. The Bavli says we don't daven personal bakashas on Shabbos because we don't want to make a tirch on anybody. We don't want to bother everybody. Oh, it's such a nice Shabbos. Why'd you have to go and bring parnasa into the mix? Why'd you have to bring tshuva into the mix? Why'd you have to bring all this into the mix? Don't belabor it. Come on, don't spoil the party. And come on, we gotta go. It's time for Shabbos too. It's time for Kiddush. It should be a tercha. The Yerushalmi says it's aser behechlet iser deraisa to make bakashas on Shabbos. It's forbidden to make a personal bakasha on Shabbos. So he takes both concepts and puts them together. Now you'll say to me, what does a Gemara in Shabbos that has to do with tefillah have to do with a Gemara in Pesachim in Rosh Hashanah that has to do with shofars? Rav Shechter is a shadchan. He takes a divergent Gemara over here, a divergent Gemara over there, puts them together. Wow! Now all of a sudden we have a huge yisod, a huge foundation over what does it mean Shabbos, what does it mean shofar? Insights into Shabbos and shofar, because the shofar is a, Rav Shechter says, quoting the Rav, and it seems to also be quoting the, actually the Baal Tanya also famously, it's a tefillah. It's a profound, maybe it's the Gemara also, it's a profound tefillah, the shofar is a profound tefillah. It's a tefillah for all of us. It's a bakasha for all of us. So the Bavli would say, it's a derabanan. The Yerushalmi would say, it's a deraisa. Fantastic. Something new, something I never thought of before. But what's the line that brings them all together? That's the shadchan. The same way you take two people, from different sides of the world, different places of the world, and you bring them together, their house becomes a seat of divinity. Right? Every person's house is a little base of Mikdash. Every person's children are, as famously, there's a famous story, we're not going to get into it right now, but the another little bit of Elokus. Noch a shtek yid. Another little bit of Elokus that when we bring these two things together, bring two far off people together, it's wild. It's crazy. But when I see the world as one big story with a lot of chapters, and who's the divine author? All the world is the stage, the people, the players, but who is the author of the script? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. The master of the world is writing the script. And once we get on that wagon of that script, that's tshuva, because that's the line that brings us from the beginning of creation to the coming of Mashiach. That's that line. That's a skira achas. It's that one glance that brings it all together. And when you say, as Rav Kook said before, how can you be his lashon was a perur dak mishuneh, a little crumb away from everything else. I don't want to be part of that. And the same way you're taking the words of Kedushas Hayom again on Rosh Hashanah. You say, really, after going through all of the different stages of the Uvechens, before we come to Hamalcha Kadosh, you say, what a great Malchus. I so want to be part of that. I want to be part of that dance of the Chen Tzadikim Yagilu Vismuchu, Yisham Yalozu. And especially when the evil tikbots pia, the kitamsha kitavir mershal zadu min haaretz. Right, when the evil empire departs from the world, we all hear in the background, I want to be part of the Malchus. I want to be part of that whole story. I want to be part of your story. And when I realized that, Azma Maharasa Orashal Dea Mevili De Chuvalovo. And I see the picture and I want to get on that. And that's what brings me to the highest level of tshuva. Hey. Be'emet, Ef Shirley Tromema Chukaha Ruchanit Shel Yeshua Taklal Bli Tshuva Pnimita Mukami Kol Chet Vavon. And then at the same time, Rav Kook now switches our perspective and says, and you want to know how to do that? Well, I've got to move all of the different things that are occluding my inner light away. You want to be part of the big picture, so you need to move the small stuff out of the way. We need to do a tshuva panimis, a depth of tshuva, a tshuva panimis with depth, to remove every sin, every mistake, every misstep. And however, when a person does tshuva in this way, they're doing tshuva for all of the Jewish people. It brings mechila to them and the mechila to the entire world. Not even the Jewish people, the entire world. And then so many people can have an elevation just by one person's tshuva, raising the entire thing up, the entire idea up. Everyone is pulled. We're all connected. Because Hashem is this part that everybody has, a portion that everyone has, of his people Israel. It's a chevel nachlaso, that there's a chevel, a rope that connects everybody, a spiritual rope. We're not talking about, like, you know, 3-ply, 4-ply, polyester, like, you know, hemp, whatever. We're talking about a spiritual attachment. But we all exist on that line. And that when that line gets shaken, it pulls all of us up. The chuvas hayachid impacts the chuvas haklal, because we don't even understand. We don't understand the interconnected nature. I like that idea of chaos theory and string theory. Let's see if it's string theory, makes it sound even more. Chevel nachlaso, right? That string is string theory that connects us all together. Pulls on one, pulls on everybody. V'ashav l'matarazu shel hitafsherut hazrachat ha'tshuka ge'ono uma v'tarata. B'shem Kol Yisrael. When I do tshuva, it's in the name of all the Jewish people as well. Each one of us is a part of the whole Jewish body. Rizal famously writes, and the Tzemach Tzedek talks about this in Derech Mitzvasecha as well, the idea that the Jewish people are a whole body. We're a whole body. And as a result, so the one of the, in the same way, the mitzvah the Avas Yisrael is another part of the body hits you. You don't cut off your finger because you accidentally hit one hand with another hand using the hammer. It doesn't make any sense. No. And in the same way, when one part of the body does tshuva, it impacts the entire part of the body. If I clear a blockage up in my arm, the circulation of the rest of my body works. And we know there's such a holistic sense nowadays. We're seeing it more and more in terms of mental health and physical health as well. And we used to think, okay, so you feel ungeblus, and so what? No, you feel ungeblus, and let's first look at the body. You feel sad, maybe you're in pain. Maybe something hurts. And vice versa. Maybe something hurts, maybe that's why you're not feeling it, and that's why you're not 100% yourself either today. It's like those in Yonam where they talk about somebody being hangry, right? person's mean to everybody around them, and they don't realize it because they didn't eat. Right? They feel like garbage, and they're treating everybody like garbage. They don't realize that there's something up. Part of the body, part of this entire set of 600,000 neshamas, the Sefer Torah, lifts one part up, it lifts everyone up. One letter is puzzle, it's all puzzle. Each letter is kasha, it's all kasha. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people are a mikveh. A mikveh does hashaka, any drop of water that touches a kosher mikveh becomes a drop of mikveh water. Pulls us all up. So long as we connect to the whole of the Jewish people. It's a big deal to connect to the whole of the Jewish people. Vav. Rosh ha-pisgah shel nishmata umah. He megama haklalit shomashu efet elea beetzem havayata zek for yotzel klalut havaya rayonos tshuva alyon nauts bimrom chavion ze. So there's this nature that we oftentimes didn't think about, we didn't speak about, we never had need to talk about. In the years of exile, as a Jewish people, as a nation. We talk about Jewish people, the Jewish people. But Jewish peoplehood, and as the notion of nationhood came into the world, and we needed to wrestle with it and understand it, lumiut, nationality, as an identity, we're used to just people. But what about, like, big picture nations? So Rav Kook, so much of his Torah also deals with, definitely in the expression that Rav Tzvi Yehuda talks about, not necessarily in all of the writings of Hanazir, not all of the Kfatzim, in all sectors, but parts that Rav Tzvi Yehuda talked about a lot was this idea of the Nishmat HaUmah, right? The idea of the nation. The soul of the nation is not just that we are 600,000 Yidden, right? 600,000 root neshamas of Jews. But there's the idea of the neshama klalit. There's this neshama of the entire Jewish people as a whole. And the neshama of the Jewish people is first and foremost the root of where we come from. Unlike other nationalities, you have a bunch of individual people, and they decide to make a national identity. The Jewish people comes the opposite way around. The Jewish people are a nation, and from that nationality, this is the episode that you see in Orot, and as well in the Mahalchei Edeyot Shebi Yisrael. Rav Kook talks about this a lot. You'll find in the Orot Yisrael, and you also talk about the ideas being developed in the Mahalchei Edeyot, where Rav Kook says there's this idea. The initial idea after the failure of the Adam Harishon project, right? The Adam Harishon project was initially to create moral man, to create man, and there would be a species, mankind, who would have a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was the idea. Ultimately, between Adam to Noach and the Dor HaFlaga, this idea failed. The idea failed. People didn't want it. So then there was a new idea. The new idea was the idea to have a nation, specifically to have this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And through that, we would go and teach the entire world to come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. To bring the best of humanity back, to teach them about the divine idea which is out there. What then happened over the fracture, a fracture of the Egel HaZahav, the fracture of the Meraglim, the fracture of the two kingdoms into half, two halves, Ephraim and Yehuda, the fracture of the first base of the Mikdash and the second base of the Mikdash, the fracture of first we had this idea, the Idea Elokei, the divine idea. And the divine idea was very much personified and fought over in the first base of Mikdash then, because we had such a problem with paganism. Right? There was definitely the divinity of ideas in the first base of Mikdash. So that project failed. And ultimately, it devolved into two portions in the time of the second base of Mikdash. The Idea Hadati, the religious idea, and a religious idea, religion, the term religion is foreign. It's something that it doesn't 100%, even the word dat, Rav Avinir comments in his commentary on Malachi Deot, says it's a Persian word, even though we find the word esh dat lamo in Dvarim. However, the word dat vidin, you see throughout the Megillas Esther, dat is a foreign word. You can ask my Iranian students, tell me. That means like religion in Farsi. It's a foreign word, and it's a slightly foreign concept that allows the divine ideal to become a religious idea. And then there's the national idea. So the Jewish people leave to exile. We lose the national idea as well. And we're just there with our religious idea as we go into exile.
Reuven.
Yes.
I'm sorry to bother. I was trying to say something before and my thing, whatever. When we're talking about the Nishmas Uma,
yeah.
Are we talking about the zeitgeist of the beginning of Medinat Yisrael, or is he speaking of like a grander theory and vision of Klal Yisrael as not just a halachic nation, but as a, or I guess, I mean, not just a nationality, but of a halachic, hashkafic nation together?
Yeah, so Rav Kook's response to the idea of nationalism was, we were doing it before it was cool. His idea was that we were doing this before it was cool. That that nationalism, is in the same way that religion is a watered down concept of a divine idea of a nation communing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Religion is a smaller scale ideal of that idea. In the same way, the idea of Nishmata Ummah, having the soul of a nation, nationalism is the bottom half of that. You know, to borrow a phrase from the Tanya, Acharei Tzimtzumim Rabim, right? After many, many contractions of that, the idea, it becomes this idea of what it looks like, nationalism. But if you think that secular nationalism is all that I'm talking about, you're missing what I'm saying. The idea being is that the stirring of the spirit of a nation and the idea of a Tchiyat Ummah, that a nation comes back to itself as a nation. So this was part of the idea to begin with. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, you're going to be the father of a nation who's going to have a relationship with me. That's the root of the idea of the Nishmat Ummah. But it gets missed and it's truncated throughout this, like we spoke about the Historia. The Hester, the Tzimtzumim of Hester of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing his name throughout history. So in that way, we see that there's this Tzimtzum of it. you'll see, I think it's a proof. I'm not sure if I saw it someplace or I'm just in my mind. That when it talks about a person that transcending the physical plane, to quote a popular phrase from the movies, going to the ancestral plane, right? A person's going to the ancestral plane, or as we say in the Torah, that he is gathered into his fathers, or gathered into his nation. Gathered into the source of our souls, which is within the family, which is the Mishpacha, right? That there's this idea of this nation of the national soul that's part of where our souls are rooted in. We come as a nation, we come as a people by means of there being a nation. But it doesn't just mean a secular nation. How our iteration and our manifestation of that, what that's going to look like, that's another story. Right? How we are mishdal shel that, whether how to bring that in, into, but so Rav Kook, looking at the world events and seeing the Jewish people saying, wait a second, you mean we don't just have to be a bunch of yids all over the place? We can be an Am Yisrael? Right? Wait a second, we could be an Am Yisrael. And it's not for nothing that a good at Yisrael took the name a good as Yisrael. Right? The idea of Yasu Chulam Aguda Achas Lasos Etzom Chabalev HaShalem. And part of the pushback against it was that you're using a nationalism, you're using a tribalism, that's the very tools of the enemy. That's what the Hungarians were all fahitzed about. You're making an organization and a group. You're making an ism. The Hungarians said, we don't want to be isms. Can't be an ism. Ism is a, you know, that sounds too much like the idea halumi. But then, but what we see what happens is that this entire concept is arising in the world. Of Cook saying that we're trying to build a nation. That's why there's a story that Rav Zevin brings, that the Nazir was in Rav Cook's house a lot, and he came to cut and he saw on Rav Cook's table the copy of the Baal Tanya's Mamarim. And as he's looking through it, he said, I see something that's a very deep connection to what the Rav talks about during Shal Shudas time. And Rav Kook said, yes, but here we're building a nation. This is the Torah of Klal Yisrael, of the Am Yisrael as well. Not just the Torah of separate souls, but this, how all these souls connect, how these souls interconnect. So there, and that, and you, and this, and but it's not entirely Rav Kook's Kiddush either. Like, you know, Rav Kook reads it into everything in the beginning, but the Sfas Emes, this is one of the concepts Sfas Emes comes up time and time and time again. Rav Kook said, you'll find almost nothing new in what I'm saying. I didn't say anything new. Maybe I'm saying it in a different way, but everything you'll see, it's an Arizal, it's a Sfas Emes, there's nothing really new here. And we talk about this idea in Sfas Emes of connecting to the Klal and being connected to Klal Yisrael. So as a result, now look, taking this concept in the next, as Rav Tzvi Yehuda strung these pearls together, this is the next pearl on the necklace that Rav Tzvi Yehuda is making over here. Nishmatah shel Knesset Yisrael hi tzedek muchlat. The soul of the Jewish people is absolute perfect justice. Shebe hit gashmuto who call a kol hatova musari shebefoa, and incorporates in all of the ethics that you can imagine. Now, part of Rav Kook's taina in Hador, when he's talking to the Yeshuva Yashan, he's talking to the old Jerusalem, and he's trying to explain to them the beauty of the new Jerusalem. In the Ikve Hatzon that Rav Kook is writing, and Eder Akar, where he's talking about it in terms of how he saw it in the life of his father-in-law, the Aderet. But he's trying to explain to the Yishuv HaYashan about the Yishuv HaChadash, and the Yishuv HaChadash about the Yishuv HaYashan, and to understand how you're both missing what each other's really all about. He's trying to explain to all of them what all of this is really about, and you're missing the point. So he says to the Yeshuva Yashan, look, Mizman, back in the day, people who weren't from, these were people who were wanton, like antisocial personalities. These were people who, if you would quote, go off the derech, unquote. What was happening? These were people driven by taivas and self-destructive. Self-destructive people and just wanting to bury themselves in pleasure and, you know, and wanting to burn down the world. Rav Kook says, this generation, what is it that they want? Look at them. They come here to the land. They want to do good for Jews. They want to build roads for Jews. They want to, they're building roads between hospitals and bakeries so people can get food to eat. They're tired of Jews being beaten up. They want Jews to have a place where they're safe. They want to create a perfect nation. Even the socialists, we see that how that experiment failed because they forgot to take into account human greed and the corruption of humanity. But they just want everybody to have a fair crack at things. Everybody should, if everybody works, everybody should be able to take care of themselves. And you know, to a certain extent, there was some success in the kibbutz movement with that idea. Everybody owns everything together, so we can take care of each other. Okay, there's the human fallacy problems that are there. That's why it didn't work. Because humans, by nature, you have to like check them. But the idea of Cook says, but in ideal, it's a beautiful ideal. This is tzedek muchlat. All of the tov ha-musari shaba, all of the ethical good which is there. So Cook says, Yeshuva Yashan, look at these people. Yes. They're maharsei Torah, and it's horrible, and they're not keeping the Torah kedosha. Yes, it's horrible that some of them don't know, or other, that some of them make fun, and some of them don't know. But they never heard it in its depth. They never heard what it really means. All they heard was, you know, this detail, that detail, shut up and put your finger back on the place. Don't ask me any questions. They didn't understand that the big questions of ethics, the big questions of divinity and philosophy are found right in our Torah. So they were looking elsewhere. But that's what their souls wouldn't abide. Hatov ha-musari shebefo'al, al-kein. But therefore, any aberration that a Jew does, he weakens his connection to the nation. You're less Jewish when you're less ethical, he says. V'atshuva rishona yesodit hi litkasher im ha'uma benishmata. And how do I return? I return the first step is to return to the nation. So, and you see how he's also explaining again his generation. He's explaining to these people, look how connected to the Jewish people these people are. Now let's turn them onto the soul of Judaism. They're connected to the idea of Israel. But we know that's not enough. He says it's the first step, but it's not enough. Like the commercials they did for the Merkaz HaKlita in Israel, a good like 10, 15 years ago, evoked a little bit of a controversy. They had a commercial with an Israeli, a bunch of different commercials, but one of which was that there's a kid comes down and then wants to show his dad his homework. He goes, "Dad, dad, dad," and his dad is sleeping on the couch or whatever. "Dad, dad, dad." He won't get up, and all of a sudden he goes, "Abba," and the guy wakes up. And the title on the television was on the screen was, "They'll always be Israeli. Your children won't be. Come home." Right, a little bit of chutzpah, as we know our brothers can be like that. Because the idea is that, yes, the first step is to connect to the soul of the nation, but that's only a first step. And we need to provide more for that, Rav Kook says. But it's a first step. And our first step is always to connect in that way. V'ima het. Hechreach hula takenet erachim ma'asim kulam. And this should be a gateway that he'll find himself pulled to do everything else, to pull to fix everything else. L'fi oto tochena ma'huti shebenishmat olma, so that everything then falls into place about fully what the soul of the nation really is all about. So really to connect to all of it. But the first start is to connect to with these ethical projects, what Cook says. That's the first step. Okay, here we go. Kodema l'chol minei ha-tshuvot shehen ba'ot achareya yitshuvat el kvod Hashem. The first tshuva, he says, that everything comes back is the tshuva to kavod Hashem. Again, the honor of Hashem reference you to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we're going to stay in less than 24 hours. V'af al pi shebitrachev ha'or musagim mit'alim. And then, as we draw closer, everything widens, and all the concepts themselves elevate themselves. Right? If we connect Zion to Chet, it makes a lot of sense. That if we start with a sense of ethics, just because it's good to be a nice person, and understand that in the identity of the nation of to be a nice person. And then all of a sudden we see that against the tapestry of all of the Torah, tapestry against of the Torah ethic. Amusagim mitalim. So then the concept jumps up that it's not just good to be nice to be nice. It's nice to be nice because we're interconnected, because we're hewn from the same stone, because of the divine image. It becomes bigger and wider. The concepts become greater. But Sarhu Me'achil et ha-shetef ha-gadol shel orot ha-tshuva. So as this, it's like we turn on the hose, we widen the valve, and all of a sudden it contains within us this tremendous outpouring of lights of tshuva. Lights of tshuva, right? Lights of tshuva. Shetamtzit nukudam yakar mechochma umikavod. That their what's in them concentrated is even more, even bigger, even more weighty than chochma and kavod, wisdom and honor. And this is the tshuva that we're going to see in our days, in the footsteps of Mashiach. V'chlal v'kirbo et kol orchot tshuva ketanim mimena shevekulam bo klulim. So that within it, he says, and you'll take a little minute because it's, I remember the first time I read it, the Weinberger said, it's very hard to explain what he's talking about. It's very poetic, but I'll translate it how we can. Later, you know, thank God we've seen more and more has been published about this, so I'll explain more. So it includes within it all of the, it encompasses this great light of tshuva, encompasses within it all of the little pieces. Remember, hearkening back to those earlier otiyot that we just learned together. The great light of tshuva encompasses all the little lights of tshuva, all the little different things. Boro gadol breshit hitpartzu, nirehu ki'ilu dochet ha'ora ketana, ubnei pritzim kamim mitnasim la'amid chazon v'nichshalim. So at the beginning, they go and they say, we don't want the little lights, and these, and they spread out, these wild people come and they try to make a vision of their own, but yet they will fail. Aval kishalon lo ba im ayidei orot haketanim nireh she'ilu ki'ilu nidachu. And they'll think that these little lights were pushed away, but it's because they were missing these little lights. So what I believe he's referring to is the found to be found in the essay that Rav Naor just translated within the last year, the idea of the souls of the world of chaos. The souls of the world of chaos are these B'nai Pritzim, these wild people who are out there looking for the Or Gadol. In their world, there's just I'll say it in a funny way, their Kalim, they're looking for the great light, but their Kalim are too small. And they don't realize that it's only by building the little Kalim can they really contain within the great light. So Rav Kook is talking about in these souls of the world of chaos, these people with very, very great ethical ideas, but without the Torah, diktukei halacha, people have big ideas, but without the diktukei halachas, the little details that really make halacha go, you miss the forest for the trees. You might have the idea of a forest, but without the trees, you think, oh, what do I need trees for? What I need is a forest. Well, guess what? Without trees, you don't have a forest. If without a, you say, I only want a big picture world. Well, guess what? Without the little dots, you can't make a big picture. You can try your hardest, but without all the little pieces, all the details, you won't have a big picture. It's impossible. There is no big picture without the little picture. So these wild people, they're so concerned for the big picture. And so as a result, they're too small-minded, too backward, superstitious, old school. I'm looking into what's new and what's big and just these big ideals. These big ideals mean nothing without thinking about the details. Person says, I want to have this huge vision. I have this huge, beautiful idea, but you forget, like, you build a beautiful house, but forget to put doors, how to get people in there. You miss the details because you're looking at too big a picture. You need the little details as well. The little details and the big picture are both equally as important. And again, Rav Kook, you see him talking to both camps. Diktuke halacha are just as important. The Tchiyat Umah is just as important as Rav Kook. And he went to the Moshavot Kibbutzim, and he would say, the land will be won equally by our building and by your Shmirat Mitzvot. Kasha the dining hall, light your Shabbos candles, farm the land, and go on Shmirah. We need both of these pieces to make the whole picture. The wild people, the chutzpah vikvas in Mashiach, I remember Rav Weinberger, at one point or another in this parak, he referred us to a piece in the Arpalei Toar. It's the proto Oros, the proto Orot, where he says that the chutzpah of this generation is they have big questions, but that they don't deserve the big answers because they don't deserve, they're incapable of hearing the big answers because they never developed the taste for it. They have big questions, which are right, but they don't have the patience to hear the answer. They don't have the ability, they haven't worked on themselves to contain the answer. It's only the details that allow you to contain the answer. This is again the entire idea of the soul, the souls of the world of chaos. The souls of the world of chaos, the idea of the world of chaos is everybody's doing their own thing all at once. There's too much going on. We don't have a way to incorporate it, to bring it into ourselves. But the great light, it makes everything happen. And the great light will not rest, though. Because Baruch Hu won't rest with his great light. Yes, he's moving it through the B'nai Pritzim, And they not, might not have the kelim for it, but ultimately that great light is going to be seen. Again, this is an idea of understanding how these, you know, all of these people who were rebelling against Torah were unwittingly bringing the world closer to Torah. How all of this was really, is all part of this big plan of tshuva to unfold and to bring even the most rebellious people back in tshuva, back to the land and then back to tshuva. So then he quotes a line from the Slichos of Shivasa B'Tamuz, Yidor Partzi Bebin Partzi. Close my parrots, close the gap, close the hole in the fence, close the hole made by the transgressors with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Ben Partzi. Mashiach Tzidkenu, the greatest of lights. So we have these Pritzim. We have these people who think they can, you know, they can achieve their goal by running for the big picture, and trampling over the diktukei halachas, being pritzim, being both pritzim for jumping for something big, but at the same time ignoring what's jumping over the things that are small that are so important. Umechedek l'kot shoshan, and then be able to go amongst the rows. Harvest the amongst the thorns. Harvest the rose, right? The what's it called? The rose. The rose, of course, is Knesset Yisrael. Amongst the thorns of exile. Roses also grow in like a hedge, like a fence. Close the hole in the fence, and we'll see ultimately that because it's a double entendre of the hole in the fence also refers to a hole in Shmirat HaMitzvah. The idea, so the Gemara oftentimes says that a person makes a hole in a fence gets bitten by a snake. That what happens is that the holes are dangerous. So close the hole, and then amongst the thorns we'll be able to save the Jewish people, save the rose, we'll harvest the rose, we'll harvest all that's good over there. It's Hashem, we should come to see the final implication, and the materialization of these teachings very, very soon. Like a kibbutz dior to everybody, a shikayach.
Yeah, we're going to do one more next week. Does that work for you?
I think so, yeah.
All right, so Mirtz Hashem, a few days before Yom Kippur, we'll pick up. Everyone, it should be a good, meaningful, renewed, refreshed year. Good things.
How about we just keep going until we finish?
I don't know, you know,
I'll speak to Rabbi Rubin offline.
All right. Sounds good. All right, everyone. Shabbos Kedyantiv.
Shabbos Kedyantiv. A good year.
Rabbi Rubin. Oh, wait, for Pesach, are you shutting it down?
How about this? I'm going to shut the, let me here. I'll shut the recording. And I will leave, but,